Brilliant listeners, we are joined today by Matt Brook. He is the GM of Spartan and Tough Mudder here in the UK. Matt, how are we doing?
Yeah, very good, Luke. Thank you so much for having me on the day after we found out that football is coming home. So it's great to be here. Thank you.
Yes, it is a great day for the country. England made a major final for the first time in a lot of people's lifetimes. So we're all on a high. So we do have to talk about a bit of a low that was recent up in Scotland. Obviously, we know Tough Mudder and Spartan have come together as one big happy family now. This was going to be your first event as a joint brand, kind of a coming out party post-COVID. And obstacles were set up. We saw pictures. We saw big obstacles. We've seen videos after the fact, but it didn't happen. We've heard things. We've seen things online. People have said stuff. What can you tell me? Obviously, not too in depth. I'm sure there's things happening, but what can you tell me from your side? What happened?
Yeah, you know, I think being honest, Luke, you know, it's still, whilst we joke about football's coming home, it's still pretty raw with the team and community. You know, naturally, still. Still devastated by it. You know, this has been for the Tough Mudder side of the business. You know, this has been 19 months in the making. We've gone through, the business had been through an administration. The business had been through COVID. The business has been through merging, you know, of entities with Spartan, in a takeover per se. And it'd been through a hell of a lot of planning, a hell of a lot of obstacles. And I said 19 months, it was over 600 days in the making to get to where we were and what was meant to be our Mud revival in the UK. 7 months of pure planning into the event with the local authorities and the stakeholders, journeys of jumping through hoops and, changing the ever-changing scope that is COVID and therefore operating parameters, but to a point where we had all the relevant permissions and licenses in place. We were on site. We built, as you rightfully said, we built an entire course. Like, you know, the by the time just before we actually received the email from the local authority revoking our license, the teams had just got back from having completed the entire course, signed the entire course, and be ready on the morning to welcome all our participants. So there was nothing left to do on our event site. Participants and registered participants in the morning.
So they let you down via email.
It was via an email.
Not even a phone call. We're going to send you an email.
Hard to believe. I know. Absolutely hard to believe. 6:27. My inbox pinged, and there it was from the legal team at the local authorities with details of revoking our license. Absolutely blown. And I think it's one where, you know, we moved quite quickly. We sent a text message out very quickly because we were conscious of people traveled. People were traveling. Mm-hmm. People were making it for the weekend. This was the 11th hour. It was 12 hours out from the event. And you know, how could we get ourselves into a place where, you know, we can quickly inform people? And then obviously by texting people, we gave an early indication. And we followed up, obviously, with the comms that went out, which were almost a bit of a open letter by us per se, but as to this is exactly where we are, and this is exactly how we feel, and we also know how our participants will be feeling. And you know, as I said, the irony isn't lost on us on the fact you 16,000 fans 10 minutes away in Murrayfield yesterday, 60,000 fans in Wembley. Don't get me wrong, it's a joy to see, or 67, I should say, and you know, what we were going to be delivering and what we had the permissions and the approvals for and the licenses for was an event that was so heavily well mitigated against COVID. It's probably one of the safest places you could have been, knowing that everybody around you was testing and had been tested. You know that there was going to be no more than 500 people across a 10-mile course or space. You know, groups of 50 being released every 15 minutes.
You know, so obviously, you know, the event itself is probably one of the most safest of places to have been, with the amount of mitigating measures that we had in place and protocols. You know, all participants were needing to test, all staff, all contractors needing to test. We had no more than 500 people on site across the entire event footprint and course. That's several miles of land and space and open outdoor, environments. We were releasing people, you know, from a normal cup on event, we were releasing only 50 people in a wave. And normally that's 250, 300 people plus. It's slightly unfathomable still to understand the rationale as to why a license would have been revoked when at the 11th hour, when all of these other activities in Scotland and the rest of the UK are permissible at the tens of thousands of people in one go, not tested, that they have. That's certainly something that we are going to be ultimately seeking answers for.
No, definitely. I think, obviously, you said you sent the text out from yourselves to kind of give that pre-warning. I was in London on Friday. I was competing at the Turf Games event down there.
Yeah.
It was a fairly large-scale event, and we got a message through on the multi-sport media channel from somebody who was going to go to the event with, just received this, do you know anything? And we were like, no, this is crazy, what's happening? Chatted to a few people, found out a little bit more info. But it was crazy that I was at an event which was probably 500 to 1,000 people on the Friday, and then turned into about 2,000 people competing on two rugby fields and different fitness events. I didn't have to provide a test before I went to the event, but it did have stuff in place with obviously stringent factors. But that being London, and then up in Scotland, obviously, you were saying that Murrayfield was full of people. We've just seen loads of people at Wembley. Obviously, it must be a bit of devastation for you guys to kind of receive that news from them so late in the day as well.
I think that's the bit which, you know, naturally, you know, and we're going to continue our challenge, because it's also, you know, I sit here, you know, and with the business, the brand, you know, sadly our event it couldn't be saved, but we also now have a duty and a responsibility to highlight and find this injustice and talk about this injustice, to make sure that it doesn't happen to other organisers, to make sure that it doesn't happen to other customers of other organisers, to make sure that the injustices isn't served again elsewhere. And you know, obviously, you know, as a business, we are and continue to be very aware of our duty of care and our responsibility in the world of COVID right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we would never, ever do something in which we felt would put either our own community, our own participants at risk, or would put the local communities that we go to visit and the areas that we put on our events. Will we ever want those, you know, we ever want to put those, you know, in risk? And therefore, you know, we were steadfast in all of our planning. So were the local authority, because they gave granted us the permissions and the licenses with what we had to mitigate COVID. And as I said, I think that's where COVID, you know, it's not going to go away. We know that. We know that whilst the 19th of July is going to come and Freedom Day is going to be upon us, and, you know, invariably life will edge back closer to normal. It's never still going to be normal. And, you know, we're going to continue to see different rules and regulations and protocols around our events. Of course we are, because, again, that's the right thing, the just thing to do, to make sure people feel safe and secure and are welcome and are able to attend. But as I said, you know, I think the process that's been left here needs to be questioned, and there needs to be answers. And we'll find those answers.
No, it's good to hear that you guys are going to pursue it and not just step away and focus on the next event. I'm sure you're putting a lot of effort into the upcoming events within England, and obviously ones that are in Wales, and you're going to have other events up in Scotland later in the year as Spartan. Yeah. So I'm sure there's going to be extra planning and precautions going into those non-England events to make sure that they happens. unfortunately, obviously, this isn't the first time Spartan has been burnt in this way. There was a similar thing that happened in Tenerife at the Euros last year. But that was at probably a different time when COVID was a lot more rife within the world and restrictions were a lot harsher. I believe probably this time around, everybody was a bit more hopeful that we wouldn't see a similar kind of thing happen. I'm sure we're hopeful that going forward with the events, we probably, fingers crossed, will not see something of that nature again. It does seem, from my own perspective, that events in the UK seem to be going off without a hitch. I've been to a few running events, trail running events. I've been to the Turf Games, and they didn't seem to have as many precautions as what you've kind of listed that you've put in place, and they went without a hitch at all. They've been very well attended events. They've been, after the fact, they've been talked about very highly because of what safety they had in there. Yeah. And it probably wasn't up to the level what you guys were going to put in place in Scotland. So it's an interesting thing to hear.
It completely, completely is. And we, the measures that we put in place in Scotland, we're liaison with the stakeholder and the local authorities to be able to get the relevant permits and permissions, which obviously they then granted. Everywhere we go, there's going to be regional nuances to what is permissible and or what is required and or what's the expectations. And I think it's fair to say, all the events and operators will have the same wherever they go and based on whatever the local authority is in the licensing decisions for those events. So, where we go through these seasons, there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all, unless, of course, your nuclear races and you're at the same venue all the time, which then, the guys there will know, the community there will know what to expect. But, ourselves, your Wolf Run, Total Warriors, talk about trail running, talk about Turf Games, all these mass participation events in our space, and those that go into different local authority regions, go into different venues, they will, continually have specifics attached to the licensing requirements and the venue nuances. And as I said, where we put in for Scotland was not necessarily going to be the same anyway in London West or in Yorkshire or Midlands, etc. But what was requested upon us to be able to have the licenses, and the fact is we demonstrated that. We had all the plans in place. We'd actually, we built the entire thing around what we said we were going to deliver. For an 11th hour reversal of what was granted and approved and licensed, the ironic thing is, we had the paperwork printed. I could walk around the paperwork site saying we had a license. It's, it's one of those. And then, the 11th hour said that's not the case via email. It's just a great injustice.
Yes, it's it was a sad time to hear that it got pulled so late as well, and I think probably for the participants, obviously there's different feelings from a lot of them. Some are very sorry for like Tough Mudder and Spartan to have to go through it, and some are angry because it was so last minute. But I guess explaining it now, it sounds like there is so much back work to even just have the event before you can even think about building, like before you can even get the paperwork in place, before you can even confirm an event. It sounds like that is a very long task right now, and made even more by having COVID protocols in place. So, and when you're going to Scotland, Wales, London, you've got different councils, different probably landowners that want information from you, and you to provide documentation and confirmations of certain things. How many people were kind of projected to attend the event up in Scotland though?
So we had 5,000 people that were due to participate across the weekend.
Nice.
And again, we closed the event in May, knowing where, we would have continued to sell because I think everybody's aware, 5,000 people for a Tough Mudder event is actually very small. And whilst it sounds like a large number, it's very small. Again, that's another step and a measure that we took to sell out the event, because we couldn't sell any more because of what we'd agreed with the local authority and how it needed to be managed and run. I think just really quickly on that note, you talk about the community devastating. You know, we've certainly shared in our communities hurt and pain. I think the one thing is, and we TMHQ is incredibly grateful to, we know there's been an outpouring of support, and naturally there's been some people who are disgruntled, and I fully understand that. And if it was in our powers to be able to change the circumstance in which the cancellation occurred, then of course we would have done that. But you know, as I said, we had no idea until 6:27 that we were going to have an issue until that email was sent and that all received. And I think, you know, just but the understanding that they've seen, and you know, we've seen the kind words, the messages, the love, you know, the caring has truly been overwhelming. And I don't say that lightly, you know, it's understated. We knew that there was going to be some fallout, but to the amount that the community has rallied, new and old participants, has been amazing. And you know, we as a brand, as a business in the UK, you know, we are indebted to that community now. And for us, it's now sort of a mission to, you know, kick on and make London West, which will now be our Mud Revival in, you know, a week and a half's time, to make that as special as it possibly can be, because instead of being 621 days, we're now 641 days. But it's going to be worth it when we get there. So, that's the main thing.
That's it. I definitely, just to go back to your point about the community, I think within obstacle course racing, I think definitely the participants have a real great appreciation for the build teams, the event crew that go behind, because most of those event teams and build crew also do races. Some of them are volunteers, some of them are part-time. So I think they've obviously got a deep connection with them. They know the effort that the weeks before that go into actually that build, because those obstacles don't go up in a day. They take a little time to put together, especially the tough mudder ones. They are huge.
It's three weeks.
Deary me. It's a long time and a lot of effort you guys put in. And it's not like you would be putting in those 3 weeks of effort if you knew that something was going to happen. It was clearly a last minute thing that happened. Correct. And it was devastating for you, devastating for the community. But as you said, the Mud Revival, London West.
It is,
Is happening. We've seen a few bits about Tough Mudder bringing in some obstacles and stuff. Anything of London West, that any tidbits you can give us for special obstacles that are going to make an appearance, or is it?
I'll release one and then I'll leave others to chance and to excitement for when and surprise. But we're having our new obstacle tipping point kind of feature. So it went through obstacle innovation back in late 2018, 2019. And some people may have seen some features. It was going to feature in Scotland, but obviously nobody got to try it. So that is the first thing, an exciting thing to experience, amongst some other bits, but I'll leave those as a surprise. But tipping point is certainly one of my new favourites as an obstacle, that's for sure.
Well, there we go. If you're going to London West and you do try tipping point, let us know how it is. Give some feedback. We want to know what type of obstacle it is and how fun it is, obviously. And fingers crossed, everyone's going to have a great event down in London West. Obviously, Matt, though, you've got Tough Mudder, you've got Spartan. The season is basically upon us, but upon you week after week. Spartan, the first race is the 23rd of this month. 24th, 25th, I believe.
Yeah, so Midlands,
So Midlands is the first Spartan race. Can you talk a bit about Spartan while we're here as well?
Spartan, we're in, we're obviously, you know, we're in a great position place. We're finally back again from a bit of a hiatus, having to sadly postpone Wales earlier in the year. And Wales, again, you know, double-edged sword. We make our announcement. 10 days later, in June, the local government announces that events of our type can go ahead. But you, like you say, the build time, the commitment time, and what you need to go into the actual deliveries meant that, you know, whilst we in principle agreed things with our local authority partners there, until that they had it rubber stamped themselves from the government, you know, they were unwilling. So obviously we made that decision there, for example, because we knew you know, we weren't at that stage in receipt of everything we needed to guarantee that this event was going ahead. So we obviously needed to push it back. And now obviously it's come out that the government has got X, Y, and Z, and that's fantastic. And it was just ironic that it was 10 days. But so we obviously had a slightly longer wait for our Spartan return, but kicks off in Midlands. Again, we've got some new obstacles that will feature that we'd invested in before COVID hit, which is some fantastic, and some sort of some level up and attachments to some of the obstacles as well, which is going to be fantastic. We've got a great number of participants. There'll still be COVID measures, similar to whilst it's after Freedom Day on Midland return, there will be COVID measures in place, part of our unbreakable code, but easing us to the degree of them, and pretty much getting as close to the normal Spartan racer experience that we've all known and loved over the past years. So that's a really exciting one. Then we obviously have a bit of hiatus, and we go to Scotland. We condense the back part of our season into a few weeks of Spartan, where we condense into we go to Scotland, then we come back down, we go to London Southeast, and we then kick on to Wales to sort of round up the season. So two trifecta weekends on the bounce in October, which is is a great way to culminate racing, but pretty tough one for our pros, our age groupers, and those for wanting a place on the podium. So it's going to be a tough October.
I'm going to feel that for sure, double beast in the month. But yes, it's definitely exciting times that we're returning. Obviously Tough Mudder and Spartan are kind of two of the biggest obstacle course races within the UK. Probably the lead obstacle course races for terms of participants. Bringing obstacle course races to a wider community. Obviously, Tough Mudder reaches out beyond to like more corporate as well, teams, groups. Spartan reaches out to those as well, but also you've got very more competitive people that want to do the Spartan. So it's exciting times that we're going to have a very condensed back end of the year, but a fun one where we're all going to come back together, see people that we may not have seen for over a year, courses.
Luke, you've hit the nail on the head. I think that's probably going to be, whilst racing for Spartan or events, participating and overcoming obstacles for TM is and the experience is going to be unbelievably overwhelming, exciting. I think it's the biggest part. Is going to be the collective coming together and the seeing of the old faces, the renewing of rivalries on the on the course, the sharing in moments that we've moments that we've missed. I think that this year is going to be probably the best part of it all. You talked about there, the communities across all of obstacle course and mud running and racing. They are so tight. Yes, there might be allegiances to certain races and to certain brands and organisations. Of course, there are, and that's fun. But there is still that underlying appreciation of one another, of the sport, of our space, and therefore, whenever communities come together, it's always I think it's more special than certainly anything I've seen in other mass participation spaces or other. There is that. That collective being and feeling, and I think what this will show us, and is that all the events and our own Tough Mudder and Spartan, but others, start to restart again. But it's just the real resiliency of everybody associated with OCR and mud running, and that's also what I certainly can't wait to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. That is going to be probably one of the highlights for myself. I think a lot of people are going to just are going to stay around that event village after their wave, probably just to see people, chat with people, enjoy that kind of time, which will be absolutely great. But yeah, you're correct. The whole community as a whole, all the races, OCR isn't a massive, massive, massive sport. It has been amazing that most of, if not all of the events have still stayed after COVID, because it's been a tough time for companies. Spartan, Tough Mudder, I'm sure have been affected. As much of a massive company, is no company is immune to being affected by something that just wipes out your profit income for over a year, which is pretty crazy. So it's I'm sure even for all of you guys, yourself coming back, seeing people, meeting new faces, old faces that are going to come to the events, Spartan Phil, rolling him out again, you can dust him off now.
We'll dust him off. That's his cape off. We may even put his cape for a wash. You never know.
Don't be too kind. He better have been in the gym. He might not come out like lockdown Spartan Phil.
Could you imagine? Lockdown Spartan Phil, that's what we'll have.
Oh dear, bless him. But yeah, just all that kind of stuff. I think the community are just going to really enjoy having it back after what has been an extremely tough year for a lot of people. But that's it. Well, thank you, Matt, for clearing up a few things about Scotland. You've definitely made it a lot clearer in my eyes, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners will be very appreciative of your honesty that you've said today, and got us even more excited for these events now with new obstacles and stuff. But yes, London West, have a great event. I will see you in Spartan Midlands, and I'll see the rest of you guys in Midlands as well. But yeah, thanks for your time today, Matt.
Thanks so much, Luke. Take care. All the best.